Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
My last nigga was a bitch nigga. Yeah. I need a nigga with about six figures. Yeah, someone who know what to do with it. Yeah. Someone who ain't on that goofy shit. Yeah. I need to know what you gon' do. I ain't tryna go through deja vu. It's some bullshit that I went through. Hope it's not the same with you. Come make me feel away.
Cool. Love Muffins, we have a special treat for you today. It is Thanksgiving week, and I'm doing a 101 interview with the Ovals, Tyler Perry's Ovals, Von Hebron.
Yes, sir.
Yay. So we have so much to talk about because I was actually late today because I was catching up on the Oval on demand. And it was like, it started off with a bang because the first episode is the first lady and the president getting into a physical fight.
Right.
That's how it starts.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, that really set the tone. And then I kept watching, and right before I came, I was ending season, I mean, not season, but the episode four, where you just found out that your baby mama is dead.
Right, yeah.
Is she really dead?
Is she really
dead? Because I didn't see episode number five yet.
I think she's dead.
She's dead.
I think she's dead.
Okay. Okay, so give us a little bit, like, the backstory of your character on the show for those of Love Muffins that haven't seen the show. Because initially when I saw the preview for the show, I was like, whoa, this is so dramatic. I don't know if I can watch.
Get into it.
Yeah. Get into it. You know how Tyler Perry shows are. Tyler Perry
is over the top.
Over the top, dramatic. Right. But let me tell you, I'm hooked now. It's something about this drama that, like, I can't get enough of.
Yeah.
So tell us about your character and also how that character fits into the cast.
Gotcha. So my character is Barry Halston, Bartholomew Halston. And he is a young man, mid-20s. So his father is Richard Halston. He's the butler in the house. His mother is Nancy Halston. And basically, Barry lives still at home with them. He has a four-year-old daughter. He has a girlfriend and who also lives in the house with him. Mm-hmm. And he has a baby mother who is in the cult.
In the cult.
Yeah. So
and she was in the cult. She came
She's
up.
In the cult. Yeah. Bringing all the children. Yeah. That's her. So, of course, basically after me and her broke up, I got custody of my child. And Barry's in this place now where he's trying to really move out the house and get his own livelihood going, but he's been spoiled all his life. He's still a good kid, but he's a little spoiled. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, the first episode he gets accused of rape, then his child goes missing, and then now he's getting accused as a suspect of the murder of his baby mother. Basically, everything just hits him at once, and he doesn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really know how to confronted head on, but he's like, I'm trying to be this good man. I need to get my daughter, and nobody else seems to be on that same page with me.
And the person you were accused of rape was the daughter of the president.
The president, yeah.
So it's like, they asked you to take her to the room.
That I didn't want to do. Barry didn't want to do, yeah.
And then once you got in there, she, you know, threw herself on you, and then you pushed her off, and she hit her head. She woke back up and was like, he raped me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And then, you know, it's like, because he's been going to the White House since he was a child.
Right.
You know, because his father's done like 3 terms in there. So it's been about 12 years that he's been going to the White House and never had any issues. And then that one day, you know, his whole life just, now he's looking at 20-something years in jail.
Mm-hmm. And then as that was going on, the baby mama came and took the baby from your mother.
Exactly.
And you told her not to take the baby.
And I told her not to, yeah.
You told her not to let the baby mother see the child.
Her. Yes.
But then she came in with a cult and took
the baby. trying to do the right thing, right? That's what she said. Trying to do the right thing.
If Tyler Perry don't write a script, I tell you. Okay. And so, okay, so you took the child, then you went and got a gun from your cousin.
Yeah, because I had to go find, you know, I'm like, yo, where they be at? Obviously, they crazy. I need something.
And the thing that got me was that, okay, you got the gun from your cousin, you went and you sit in the car, your daddy came and found you where you are, y'all struggled for the gun, and then you shot the gun, and then it hit somebody, right?
You think I shot the gun?
Somebody shot the gun because a woman came out and she was screaming, my baby's dead. So I don't know who did what.
I don't, I, well... Well, you haven't seen the latest. No. In the latest episode, you see that a preacher was actually shot and killed in that house based off of the gun going off in the car.
Oh, wow. A preacher.
A preacher. Of course. Why? That's...
He got to leave the whole congregation behind. Jesus
exactly.
Christ.
Yeah. So, so somebody is has slaughtered a man and we'll have to pay for that sooner or later.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I hear that you have a... So the... I haven't seen episode 5, but episode 6 is coming up and it's a big episode for you.
It is.
In what way? I don't want to give it away for people who haven't seen it yet, but like, in what way is it a big episode? Is it like emotionally charged? Like, what is it?
It is physically charged because we start seeing that my girlfriend Sharon, she works at a pharmacy with this guy named...
Oh, the guy likes her.
Yeah.
And he's fine. I mean, not me. Yeah, you're fine, too.
I appreciate it. But yeah,
he's fine. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
And that might be an issue for Barry. So,
shoot. I was like, I need to start showing up on Tyler Perry's sets. I got to see what's going on.
Hey, do what you do.
So you and him are going to get into it.
Yeah, a little bit. Because I'm running around looking for my daughter, and I'm calling Sharon as well, and she's not answering the phone. So, you know, I might have to just show up at the pharmacy and see what's what, and I might catch... some conversation I don't like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's also because your character is like being kind of mean to your girlfriend at the present moment.
Yeah. You know, he, again, everything's hitting him at once and he's taking it out on those people around him because he doesn't feel like they're as invested as him, you know? And I was watching Twitter during the episode and, you know, people were saying, why are you yelling at your girlfriend? She still got to take care of the bills in the house.
That's right.
But...
That's a good woman.
That is a good woman. That is a good woman. But I also ask myself, like, well, if you are invested in this relationship, you know, and he has a daughter, wouldn't you go out and look for your own daughter too?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a good dialogue. It's a good conversation.
It's interesting, I think that she, I mean, I guess they could have made her more emotional, but it's a reason why that is going on too. It may, as the episodes, you know, play out, she might truly be in love with the guy at the pharmacy.
You never know.
You never know.
It happens. I mean, she already said she feels like, you know, distant from her and everything else. So we'll see where that comes from.
Well, tell me this. So for a lot of us, I mean, most of us, we didn't make it to the grand opening of Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. And I wanted to know, like, how did you go? Did you attend the grand opening?
I did.
Also, how is it to work on that at that studio? Like, tell us, give us like an inside scoop as to like what it's like, how big it is, what that experience was at the opening.
The experience at the opening itself is probably it's one of a lifetime, and it's something that's unheard of because you have basically everybody that you ever looked up to in the entertainment business, people that you aspire to be like, people that you saw them on screen and was like, yes, that's what I want. That's who I look up to. That's who I want to be like. And they're all of them in the same space, like a handshake away, a conversation away. And it's one of those things that you don't even appreciate until afterwards because it's like you keep on reflecting on what you saw, who you saw, the conversation they were having, and just being in this space with so much excellence, you know, it just rubs off on you. And at first I was wondering why, because I just started knowing Tyler and I was like, why am I even here, you know? But now I know he wanted me to be in that space because he wanted me to see what I can do in my life, what I can accomplish. Not only what he accomplished, but those people around him that accomplished the same things on a greater level too. So it was really like stepping into your biggest fantasy on a celebrity level, like just being there around them and being able to have a conversation with them. Working at that studio is, you know, it tops Disney, it tops Fox, it tops like all the biggest studios, and he has it himself. You know, everything that you could want is there from a television perspective, being able to film on different lots. It's 12 stages, all named after prominent Black actors. And, you know, everything about that space is just inspiring. It's like you just want to do more. You want to be the best person you can be and be the best actor or the best entertainer you can be while you're there, because it's a whole nother level.
Wow. And I think the history of it is that the actual location was built where an old Confederate army base.
Yeah, army base. And he bought it. Yeah.
Wow.
He bought it.
And just think about that from the perspective of that's where people strategized about how to keep our people in slavery.
From excelling. Yeah.
Yeah, from excelling.
Keeping them in a lower position. Exactly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's why the Civil War was fought. Yeah. It was about slavery. And
exactly.
They wanted black people to stay in a lower position and in slavery.
Yep. And then he buys it. And then he also—
owned by a black man. Now.
Owned by a black
man. That's a good—
Being expanded upon.
Right.
Like, being expanded. It was acres and acres of land that we didn't even look at, didn't even get a chance to see.
Wow.
And
so it's massive. It's
huge. It is like a whole estate. And then also, it's great because, you know, The Walking Dead is filmed there. A lot of other big shows are filmed there. So they pay Tyler to use his lot.
That's amazing. You know? And I also heard that a part of Black Panther was taped there.
Yeah.
Will Smith's new movie that he's doing, was it Bad Boys 3?
Bad Boys 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're there as well.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. Then also, it's right under the airport. And believe it or not, it's soundproof. Like, you don't hear any planes or anything going over it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how they did that, but he said, yeah, that's another reason I bought it, because you can't hear any airplanes or have any, like, outside sound really coming in.
And that's good for people flying in to try to go film.
Yeah.
They fly in and go straight to the studio.
Straight, 15 minutes from the airport.
Tell us about, like, the replica of the White House that he built. So where you take the Oval
right.
is actually he built a replica of the actual White House.
Yes, sir.
And how is it inside?
So, while we were filming, it wasn't all the way done. So we was able to just go into different segments at a time. I haven't been to the real White House in a very long time, but this one, like, looks legit. It has the paintings, the architecture, the furniture. It looks so elegant, and it's so big. Like, the columns, the walls, the rooms are huge.
Right.
So it was, again, it just elevated everything. It was like, yo, this is some real shit going on right here. Like, we in a real space. This is the White House. It felt like it. You got the Secret Service just walking around. Like, I swear, I was really on guard at some points. So I'm like, yo, I'm not trying to get in trouble with anything. It's huge. It is huge.
So it's basically almost like life size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is.
Just the money that it takes. Like, I mean, when I'm blown away by Tyler Perry, it's just like everything looks and feels so expensive in terms of, like, buying the land and the studios.
Right.
And, like, it's just, whoa.
Right.
You know?
And then, like, just going into the different rooms, like, we was ducking off into rooms that had rooms and stuff. I'm like, how in the hell did you even get this blueprint to do something like this?
Wow.
You know, it was so intricate.
Intricate.
So he definitely paid a lot of detail.
So of the people that were there at the opening, who would you say the celebrity that you were most excited to see and was shocked to see and was like, oh my God, like, I'm, like, literally 5 feet away from such and such?
Will Smith.
Oh, wow.
Will Smith. Because the reason I was so excited about him is because he actually socialized with a lot of people. There's, like, a YouTube video going around where people send me a screenshot of me listening to him. Like, I'm, like, 2 feet away from him. And he's talking to a bunch of the young actors there, just giving them, like, inspirational feedback, advice. And we are really right there, like, in a group huddle. And he's just coaching us up, just coaching us, talking to us, like, you know, just an everyday dude, saying what works for him, saying what we should aspire to be, you know, different pieces of advice that we can use every day at work. And he was doing it like it was nothing. You know, Jada was right there just sitting in the back chilling.
Listening.
Yeah. And the same way that he is on Instagram, the same way they are on Instagram, their relationship, how fun they are, that's really how they were in real life.
Very genuine.
I wanted to see Denzel, but Denzel was in and out.
Yeah, he came,
he smashed the bottle on the building, then he was out of there, like he was never there. one interaction I wish I would have took more advantage of was meeting Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Okay. Oh, see, that's what I wanted to get to. Okay. Jay-Z, Beyonce.
Jay-Z and Beyonce, they were, because when Tyler opened up the room and we got to walk the stage, I walked by and Jay and B was, like, right there. And I was like, I got to say something.
And you spoke?
I walked over. I said, Jay, grew up listening to your music. You know, I appreciate everything you've done for the community. I appreciate everything you're teaching us. Shook his hand.
Now Beyonce.
And then now with B, I was like, B, nice to meet you.
You kept
and
it real cute.
I was like, okay. Nice. Because, you know, Jay give that eyebrow. He look at you.
Right.
And I'm like, I ain't trying to be that guy.
I ain't trying to. That was, see, you played that right.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm sure I'll see y'all again. Y'all enjoy your night. Kevin moving.
So tell us of how you started. Like, how did you get to where you are in the acting game? Like, how did this role come about? You know, how, like, were you in acting class? Like, what was your process?
Yeah, so...
For people who want to get into acting and is listening to this interview, is like, okay, well, if he can do it, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. And so share some of that.
Gotcha. So I was in pharmaceutical sales, so basically a corporate job out of college. And I did that for 3 years total. After about 2.5 years, I started taking classes, acting classes, because I got bored. You know, I was just like, what am I doing? I can be making money the rest of my life, but it's not going to make me happy. You know, I'm up there only looking forward to Saturdays and Sundays to live. So I started taking classes because I wanted to explore different passions in my life. And then I got laid off from the pharmaceutical job. And at that time, it was about 5 months I've been taking classes already. So I said, instead of going back to a regular corporate job, let me see what I can do with this acting thing. So I moved to Atlanta.
Okay.
And the first day I moved to Atlanta, I booked a short film.
Oh, wow. First day. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it was a good sign. So I was like, oh, snap. Let me keep on doing this. And so I started taking classes in Atlanta, like serious classes. And 8 months later, I moved to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Only 8 months later, after I had an agent and everything, and they was just like, man, you're very new. You have a good trajectory. So maybe you might want to move to L.A. and really see what you can do with it. So I moved to L.A., and 2 months after I moved to L.A., I booked a game show for BET.
Okay.
Black Card Revoked.
Okay.
So that was the first time I was on, like, TV, like national TV, doing some stuff. So I booked that. And then a year later, Quaylen Rogers, Blame It On Quay, he saw that game show, and he hit me up, like, directly on Instagram. He DM'd me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't following him. He wasn't following me. So that was just God right there. He DM'd me. He said, I'm making a show. Would love to see if you're interested in it. So his people called me up, and we talked about it, and at first I turned it down. I was like, nah, I don't think the content of what y'all doing is what I want to be associated with right now. So I turned them down, and then an hour later, they hit me back up. I was like, yo, we really want you for the show. So I called my friends. I'm like, look, if I do this, y'all going to judge me, yada, yada, yada. They said, nah, go ahead.
What was the content of the show?
It was a fake dating show. It was a fake reality dating show.
Oh, okay.
So basically, like, 10 guys would compete for TTs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I think I saw some clips of that. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah. It was funny. So,
and kudos to you for being open-minded enough to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. I stepped out of my comfort zone with that.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be a good thing because, you know, I was like, well, it's a chance to act. It's a chance to, you know, get some exposure. And hopefully the right person sees this
and try
to get me for another show. So the show did very well. Mm. I ended up winning the show, I guess, quote unquote, winning it.
Yeah.
And then...
That was on, the Zeus Network?
Zeus Network.
Okay.
Yeah, that was on the Zeus Network in 2018. And then in this past May, Quay got hired by Tyler to go on his last play tour with him. And then I guess while they was out, Tyler saw a clip from the show and called me up.
Okay.
To do the
That's
oval.
So dope.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
it shows you sometimes, like, you have to get outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
In order to get to where you need to be.
Exactly.
So had you not stepped out of your comfort zone and did the show that you were a little bit hesitant to do,
right,
then you wouldn't have been seen by Tyler Perry, and then you wouldn't be on the Oval, and
exactly.
you wouldn't be sitting here
exactly.
talking to B. Scott.
Exactly. Talking to B. Scott.
That's course, right.
Right. So yeah, you definitely got to put yourself out there. And during that whole time, I was still taking classes, I was still networking, I was still doing everything I could in my power to make sure that I was ready for whatever opportunity might have presented itself.
Yeah.
So I've been in classes now for about 3 years.
That's amazing.
You know, so it's been consistent. So the hard work still goes on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you get an opportunity to apply that, you take advantage of it. if it's something that you think is actually going to be a positive thing for you?
Oftentimes when I talk to people who want to be an actor, mm-hmm. They're not in acting class. And I say to them, I was like, well, then you're not serious about wanting to be an actor. So if you want to be an actor, you have to be in acting class.
Yeah.
That has to happen. So I mean, it's like it one does not happen without the other. And so you have to do the work.
Right.
People think they can just do something without doing the work.
Right.
That's a part of the problem with right now. I feel like what's going on in our society is that people just are not doing the work. They want the result.
The results, right.
Without the work.
Yeah. People want to take a magic pill, I guess. Or, you know, they just want the opportunity. But, you know, success happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Right.
So if you just want the opportunity, but you haven't prepared at all for it, just by saying, I want this to happen, you think it's going to be given to you. Mm-hmm. No. Especially at this level, you know, like Chris over here, my manager, he's still on me about, you still need to be in these classes. You still, like, you have auditions and it's about to be pilot season. So the work just actually becomes even more intense. You know, the opportunities become greater.
Yep.
So your preparation actually needs to be greater as well. It does not stop.
Yeah, you should be going from doing what you need to do for work and acting class.
Exactly.
Keep it focused.
Exactly. I mean, you can be, honestly, you could be a doctor before you can be a good actor. You know?
Like, yeah, I understand
that. You go to med school for about, you know, 8-10 years, you can be a doctor. But if you actually want to be a great actor, it's a long process. It doesn't just happen overnight.
Right.
You know, you might get the opportunity overnight, but you'll lose it if you're not ready for it, if you're not, you don't have the skill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, acting class, you know, oftentimes too, it can, the teacher, the instructor can also put you on to different things.
Yeah.
A lot of the people in the business, they have so much valuable information to share.
Yeah.
So acting class is like the first thing you
need
to do.
It's the first step, most definitely. I think, because I get that a lot too, where, you know, new actors, they're just like, well, what's the first step I need to take? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, get yourself in a space where you can actually learn from other people that are already doing it, you know? Like, if you're out here trying to figure out yourself, you're kind of putting yourself at a disadvantage, because you can go to a class, get your materials, and already be on your way.
Right.
Yeah.
So how are your family and friends reacting to the fact that you're on the Oval on BET, like a national show?
They still can't believe it.
It's like you're on the TV.
They still can't believe it. Like, my father still hits me up. He said, yo, what the hell? I'm looking at you on television right now.
That is crazy.
I said, Dad, it's the fifth episode. It's like 5 weeks of it. He said, yeah, but I still can't get used to it. You know? So they're excited for me. They're happy for me. But because it's such a, my family is simple people, you know, and there's nothing wrong with simplicity. They're just used to a certain life. Mm-hmm. And the one I'm living is very different from how they grew up. So they're still adjusting to everything that's coming with it. You know, like people hitting them up saying, I love Vaughn on the show, da da da. And they're like, oh my God, you saw my son? You know, it's like, well, yeah, Mom, I'm on television, so people are going to see it. People are going to hit you up, you know? So they're still adjusting to it as well. It's a whole new world for them. I took my father to
And you're from Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah.
Because I hear it a little bit when you say father.
Yeah.
You know, the Baltimore people have a certain accent.
Yeah, people get on me actually on the show because I keep on saying daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah.
You sound kind of like, what's her name? Just Hilarious. The same accent.
Mm-hmm.
Not the voice, but how you pronounce certain words.
Well, she from Duke. That's in Baltimore, too.
Duke.
Yeah.
She sound, she said father. You know, baby father.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
Yeah, so, oh, wow.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. I'll work on...
No, it's good. No, it's great. No.
It is. Yeah, it works for certain things.
You know, but it works for me. Like, what I realized is that, you know, I grew up in Ahoskie, North Carolina, which is a really small town in North Carolina, actually outside of Ahoskie.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy that I have that southern, like, little twang to my voice.
Right.
It comes out in certain things because I feel like it makes me relatable.
Yeah.
It's like the common tongue.
Right.
It's like people don't feel like they're being talked down to. They feel like they're getting the information from someone they can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so like, let me tell you that, welcome to the B. Scott Show.
Yeah, you know? It's like, oh, Lord, who is this?
Who is this? Why am I listening? This
why
is
not, they talk like that?
This is not NPR.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Definitely makes it a little bit more real.
Yeah. From Baltimore, moved to Atlanta.
Yep.
Do you have any kids?
I do not have any kids.
No any kids.
I'm the oldest of 9 siblings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you were like, no.
I'm going to have kids eventually.
So you kind of helped raise them in a way.
I did, yeah. I was like 4 years old, changing diapers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they were your parents were popping them out. It was like 9 of them.
Well, I got my mother and my stepfather, and I got my father and my stepmother. So I have two families.
Mm-hmm.
So either one... It was a lot of stuff going on in the house, you know, babysitting, spanking some of these kids, changing their diapers. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be very selective about when I choose to have my own family.
How is life in Atlanta? So you live in Atlanta now, or you live
No, I live
here?
In LA.
Okay,
I live
so
in
you LA, just go yeah. there to tape the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how's life in LA?
Well, how's life in LA? Or in,
yeah.
In your experiences of Atlanta, too?
Well, Atlanta was great, chocolate city. You know, coming from Baltimore, D.C. was right there. So I'm used to, like, black excellence. I'm used to black people looking out for each other and doing some great things. Mm-hmm. So moving to Atlanta, it was a more of a hospitable southern flow, but it was still much of that same thing. So I really appreciated that part of it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of people doing stuff for the clout, though. It was very flashy. It was very...
When you say doing stuff for the clout, like what type of stuff were
like
they doing?
Like going to parties just to be seen, you know, pulling up in Benzes and all this other flashy stuff that I wasn't really into.
That they don't own, probably.
Yeah, that they don't own, you know what I mean? Like,
and I would say you got to be careful in Atlanta because you can get robbed.
Yes.
Atlanta people do not play. Like, they have, like, I've been noticing, especially with the news that happens with, like, rappers and with certain celebrities, when they go to Atlanta is when shit happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So they are literally targeted. And they are...
For that specifically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, like Atlanta is like the pop-off city.
Yeah, because they still toting out there.
They still toting.
Yes, they
are. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to tell you. So,
and y'all be toting on the Oval, too. So.
Yeah, we do. It was funny because Tyler was like, there was one scene, actually the car scene, when the gun went off, I actually had to show my father how to use it. And it took like 5 minutes, and then afterwards Tyler was like, Vaughn, I'm mad that you know how to use guns like that. So I'm like, well, I'm from Baltimore, Tyler, what you think? What you expect, bro?
Oh yeah, cause the father in the scene was he took the gun and like took the clip out and
exactly
did whatever thing to the
so I had to show him how to do it.
Yeah, I'm country, I know how to use like a rifle.
Okay,
but I don't know how to use like a 9mm or anything.
Really? So yeah. I think the rifles are more complicated.
Yeah, but I know that's what we had, you know.
All that land out there.
That's right.
Yeah, so Atlanta was cool, man. LA has been a whole different beast.
So when you in Atlanta, I'm sure, you know, the guys and the girls are on you. It's like everybody's like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I actually haven't
been. And you are cute, too.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, this is extra freaky.
It definitely levels it up, yeah. I haven't been in Atlanta, though, since I shot the Oval, though.
Oh, okay.
I have not been
I'm sure
there.
It's happening here, too, because it's like, you know.
It's not as
fresh
much
meat.
Yeah, yeah, yes, it happens. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure when I go back to Atlanta, it's going to be, I'm afraid to go to Lenox.
Lenox?
Next time I go to Atlanta, because I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
It'll be fun.
Because now people know you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's like, and, you know, in regards to fraternities, like, you have the Alphas, you have the Kappas, you have the Sigmas, you have
then
the Qs.
You got the Qs.
And the Qs are the freakiest.
We the wild ones, yeah.
The nastiest. The dance that you showed me that went viral online is the Q dance.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's what I call the Q dance.
It's a hop, yeah.
It's like they, you know, you be moving around and hopping and kicking, and then you
and then
do
you
like
get
this
a little
tongue thing.
It's a neck roll.
It's a neck roll tongue situation.
It represents, you know.
I guess oral sex on a woman.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Gives a little flash. So, yeah, man, it's. I'm sure Atlanta's going to be very interesting the next time I go back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my mother around with me just to get her out there and just see how crazy it can get.
What do you think of L.A.? Like, were you intimidated about moving to L.A. from Baltimore?
Mm.
A lot of people that listen to this podcast probably, you know, or some of them would want to live in a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I didn't go directly to a bigger city. I moved from Ahoskie, North Carolina. I went to school at UNC Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to D.C.
because
I felt like D.C. was like a good in-between city.
Right, right, right.
Because I didn't feel like I was froggy enough
to jump
New York
right.
and jump to L.A. I said, like, let me go and I can be somewhat close to my family in North Carolina in case some shit go left.
Mm-hmm.
I can just take my ass back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did D.C. Then I went. So you went from straight from...
Atlanta.
Okay.
And then to L.A. Yeah.
Okay.
L.A.
I think that's similar because Atlanta to me is like an in-between city.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, it's kind of a city, but it's really country.
Yeah.
So it's like, it don't know which one it want to be.
Right. And then my family was there too. So I had a support system right there.
So that's similar.
Exactly.
So you did basically the same thing I did.
Yeah, I didn't just make that big old jump. I'm telling you. I moved to Atlanta. My family was there. So I had the support system. Getting my feet wet, starting out this career and seeing if it's something I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I moved to LA when I was like, yeah, I need to make this happen. Mm-hmm. LA can be intimidating. It can be very intimidating. It's a big city. It's a lot going on. Luckily for me, I came out here and I had a very narrow vision of what I wanted. So I started, as soon as I got here, I started taking steps toward accomplishing that early. But a lot of people, they come out here and they get lost in the sauce because there's so much going on. And, you know, you start getting involved in different scenes or in different groups of people that they have different goals than you.
So and agendas.
Start, agendas, yeah. And they start pulling you different ways. So that's why it can be a little intimidating because it's so much to get involved in. But I came out here, I was when I decided to move to LA, I thought it was going to be a 3-month process. So it was in July of 2017. And then I ended up moving the next month because my cousin was out here and he was like, yo, I found a place if you really want to move. And I was like, let me talk to the landlord. And we did the deal and I was on the road.
And that's what happens too when you put the energy out in the universe of what you want and you're focused and moving in that direction.
Yeah.
The universe will respond in kind.
It just opens up. Yeah.
Just opens up and like.
Before I knew it, I was doing that drive across country and I'm up there thinking like, yo, what the hell am I doing? I'm moving to LA.
You better than me because I just took 3 red suitcases. Oh. That was my story. Yeah. I was like, no way, I can't drive cross country like that. I was like, oh, hell no. Because I was concerned about going through those really southern states.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, when you get trying to get to California, I was like, oh, hell no. Right. They're not going to catch me in the middle of the night by myself.
Out there in New Mexico or some shit, right?
Right. I'd be done hung up. No.
Yeah, it was a very reflective time for me. I just got to think about what I really wanted. Why am I doing this? And just affirm myself. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, luckily for me, when I got here, I knew exactly what I wanted. And I just started taking steps towards that, staying away from those people I didn't need to do, be around, staying away from the places that I didn't need to be around.
And I'm a firm believer of that. And I definitely judge people by that. The people that you hang out with, I associate you with.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
it's
that.
A reflection
if I,
of you.
Yeah. And it's a reflection of if I want to reach out, if I want to help this person and all of that. Because if I see you, you know, you hanging out with people who are not in acting class, ain't doing like, you know, nothing but.
They're not working towards what they say they want.
Exactly. Right. Clout chasing.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's not going to get you the help that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You gotta separate yourself. Important.
You have to separate yourself.
And people kind of think like, oh, I can hang around these people, but people won't. I'm not like them. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
The people that you hang around with are a direct reflection of who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lie to yourself and be like, I can hang around these people.
And it won't affect me. Yeah. But because think about it, you're still taking time and energy to be around those people.
Yeah.
And that time and energy is something that you can be putting somewhere else more productive for yourself.
Because one of my girlfriends is like, you know, I don't know why people think I'm a hoe. I said, because you hang around my
hoes. Yeah.
I was like, it was literally like that. I was like, everyone thinks I'm a hoe. I was like, because you hang around hoes.
Yep.
Hoes hold together.
Yep. It's a reflection of yourself, man. The separation is real. The separation is real. But I say, like, I understand that a big city like L.A. or maybe even Atlanta could be intimidating to people, but you really just got to put yourself out there.
For sure.
You know, you just have to give yourself a chance to do what it is that you really want to do. And if you don't take that first step, you'll never know.
I think the strongest thing that you said to me was that, you know, you were presented with an opportunity and you were very hesitant to do it and it wasn't in your comfort zone, but you stepped out of your comfort zone, did the opportunity, and that opportunity led you to the opportunity of your life so far.
Right.
Because the Oval is the opportunity of your life. And that is so like important for people to really absorb in their spirit is that you have to step out of your comfort zone to get to where you want to be. If you continue to do the same things,
you will get the
same outcome.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And that is the truth. The honest to God truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people are like, how do I do this? How do I do that? You got to, whatever it is, you got to step out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, a lot of people, you know, when they say they have this dream, they have this one picture in mind of what that dream looks like.
Right.
You know, they were like, I want to be an actor. So they see themselves, you know, being the next Viola Davis or Halle Berry. And it's like, well, actually, you might be the next Harriet, you know, you might be the next
just be your next
crazy
yourself.
Yourself. You're gonna be the dream is gonna look the way it's supposed to look, not the way you think it's gonna look.
I will say that everything, how I in my head thought things would go my entire life, has been the exact opposite of how they went.
Yeah. What they say, like when you have a plan, God laughs at it.
It did laugh at it. Like he peed on it. It was like something. It was not he peed on my plans. My plans are wet because I'm telling you, like everything, like I have a vision of how things I want to go, but the people that help me, the opportunities don't come from the direction that you thought I thought.
They were.
Oh,
right.
No.
Right.
Time and time again, I've seen that a lot. Like, and especially you can get discouraged when you feel like there's a person or there's people that can help you and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be really hurt by that. But now I realize that those people are not the ones that my blessings are supposed to come from.
They weren't meant to.
Those are not the doors I was supposed to walk through.
Right.
My blessings, the things that come to me for a specific reason from a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't even like, I don't even think now, like I don't even go and be like, oh, this is how it's going to go. I'm just opening up to like, these are the things that I want, and however they come to me is however they come to me.
Yeah, and it's going to go the way it's supposed to.
Exactly.
Not the way I want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For one second, I want to talk about, like, so when you tape the Oval in Atlanta, I know Tyler Perry he has a tight work schedule.
Yes.
So how many episodes did you tape at one time? So is the whole season of the Oval done?
The whole season is done.
So Tyler, you tape that, how long did you tape it?
That 25 episodes took 5 weeks.
5 weeks straight.
To shoot. Yes.
That's how Tyler, and Love Muffins, let me tell you, that is how Tyler makes his money.
Yes, it is.
Tyler
Perry, pumps it out.
He pumps it out and he's very cost effective.
Right.
I'm going to get y'all all here one time and we're going to do all of this.
Right.
Now all y'all going to go your asses back home.
Work, do what you want to do and just be ready for the next season.
Next 5 weeks. Yeah.
And put that into perspective, like another network to shoot 25 episodes, to shoot even 12 episodes would probably take 4 to 6 months.
Mm.
Tyler did 25 in 5 weeks.
Not playing.
He has a Netflix film coming out. He just shot that in 1 week.
Wow. I did see that. Yeah. I did see the preview for that.
Yeah, he has something coming out on BET Plus. He shot that in 12 days.
Mm.
It's like a well-oiled machine.
But it's smart. I mean, it's very smart. And it also shows you how people consume information and content now. Like, they want it quickly and they want new content. Mm-hmm. So, like, why spend so much time in the production of something when you can put out something new in the time that, you know, like, you would be taping one thing.
Exactly.
And he keeps going back to the same loyal fan base.
Exactly.
And that's how he has cultivated his empire.
He knows what his audience wants and he knows what will work for them and he'll give it to them and then he'll be on to the next and give them something else.
Cause I tell you, I love me some Madea. Like, I will watch a Madea movie.
I love Madea.
And
man,
like, that was one of the few movies I could have in the background while I'm doing something else in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that part, I was like, oh, he's so crazy. You know, it's just something about it. It's like, it's not like everything doesn't have to be deep thought.
Yeah. It's just so familiar to you, you know? It's just one of those things it's ingrained in you. You just live it out.
So if you had your way, what would be what's next for you?
If I had my way, I'd be in a Marvel movie. I'd be in a Marvel movie. I would be doing something maybe like The Walking Dead as well, or like a Narcos, or like a Breaking Bad type thing. I like the gritty stuff. I like the gritty stuff, I like the action stuff, I like the drama stuff.
Cool.
But like the stuff that's right there in your face with it too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they made a Wire, I would love to do the Wire.
Oh, the Wire was so good.
The Wire was great.
Yeah.
Actually,
I can see you in the Wire, like some type of show like that, because those street scenes,
yeah,
that really like I could tell you were living for that moment.
Yeah.
It's like, give me that gun.
Give me that gun. I'm gonna take this motherfucker gun. Yeah. But I'll also be like, you know, like an Idris or something. I go into the courtroom, you know what I mean, and talk to y'all like, yo, my client, you know, he's not, you found me. Like, I'll switch it up. But I also saw Love Jones again last night.
Oh yeah, that's a classic.
On Netflix, and I love it. And I was like, yo, I could, if they did a something like Love Jones, I could be in that too.
What I like,
put the smooth side on.
What I also like about, you know, what you've been saying is that, like, I like how you like are doing your research about the classics and different things. Like, you know, like, you are well versed in things that you would want to do in the future.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't do their research.
Yeah. It's a business, you know, at the end of the day. Like, a lot of people come into the space and they just want to focus on the creative part, but it's the business part about it as well. You have to be very in tune with that, because new things are happening every day. You know, they just released Apple streaming, they released Disney streaming, BET streaming,
HBO,
like you and Nickelodeon and Netflix. So you have to be in tune with what's going on, because that's going to affect how you train and affect your goals. You know, it's like before, people have only auditions for certain things. Now they got like 400 shows coming out like next year alone, if not more. So the market is huge for people. So you need to be able to adjust to that. And you can only do that if you have the knowledge.
So how can people find you on social media?
Mm-hmm. My social media, Instagram and Twitter is at VHEB Official, VHEB_official.
Okay.
And I have a YouTube channel too. is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Vaughn Hebron.
Right, okay. And when does The Oval come on? When is the next episode?
The Oval comes on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The next episode is coming out this Wednesday. It is going to be a doozy. You will see me doing some damage in that too.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be a whole situation.
It's going to be a whole situation.
You about to fuck that pharmacy up. That
yes, I am. I promise you I will.
That pharmacy looks so neat and put together. I can just see you going in there and just, okay.
Oh, yeah. It gives,
you can't hurt my man, though. Don't be hurting my man. Because I'm saying.
He got a little smart.
Don't put your hands on my man.
He got a little
okay?
smart-ass mouth, so it's about to be
I'm
going
to have to show up to talk to Tyler Perry.
Yeah, talk to him. Come on.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Thank you, B.
And until next time, love muffins, double kisses. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.